Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood. Welcome aboard today to another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues. Looking forward to having you on board, not only to listen, but to join in the dialogue and the discussion. This broadcast is designed around you, our listener, with a Q&A opportunity, question and answer. You can ask the questions, we can respond. As we face the issues each day on this broadcast, let me remind us again, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus said, thy word is truth. So, ladies and gentlemen, I want us to understand that as we face issues, and we all do, we're either facing an issue now, we faced one yesterday, or we'll be facing one tomorrow, are multitudinous of those issues. Some call them difficulties and problems. They're issues. As we face the issues in life, we need to do so based on the authority of Scripture and seek from the Word of God what God would have us to know in relationship to a response and what we ought to do. This is the reason it's so vital, especially in a Christian's life, that we know the Word. Study the Word, know the Word, meditate on the Word. Allow the Word of God to be hidden in our hearts so we might not sin against Him, is what the Scripture tells us. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about a subject today that I think is fitting. And at first glance, you might think we're going in a different direction, but that's okay. You'll see in a moment. Difficult days ahead. Difficult days ahead. And I believe we're faced with difficult days ahead. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you watched the news this morning or late last evening. 13 are dead, including the gunman and a sheriff's deputy, 12 college students. Yes, tragedy strikes again. And this time it's located in California in a music bar with a masked gunman wearing a black, all black. The gunman rushed into the bar and started and opened fire with his automatic handgun. And the bar was crowded, and there was no warning, yet 12 people are dead, plus the gunman himself. Let me just read you a little blurb from the article about this. 12 dead as gunman storms the bar, storms bars student night. Daily Mail headline, 12 people have been killed at a county country music bar in Southern California after a masked gunman wearing a all-black opened fire on a crowd of college kids before taking his own life with a semi-automatic handgun. The shooter, who's not been publicly named at this point, but identified by the police, stormed in to the Borderline Bar and Grill in Thousand Oaks, California on Wednesday at 11:20 p.m. He first shot the bouncer, then opened fire on the crowds of youngsters who were there to enjoy a night of line dancing and country music. As dozens ran for their lives, hid beneath pool tables, used bar stools to shelter the shadow of the window to escape. The shooter continued firing back at each one with automatic pistol and throwing smoke grenades to confuse them. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're living in difficult days today. We need to pray, ladies and gentlemen, for those families of those that have been slain in this tragic scenario in California. We need to pray for the family members, the parents, the relatives, the moms and dads, where there will be empty chairs at Thanksgiving dinner. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in dark days. So what causes this type of tragedy? Exactly what is the key? Now, I understand that the ideologues and the liberals in Washington will immediately jump to the conclusion that it's the weapon, that it's the gun, that we need to outlaw guns. But I want to ask you a deeper question. Why are we witnessing the increase in such horrific events in America? And yes, around the world, we're watching it. As believers, we must look at the Word of God, the Bible, for the answer. Let me just read a few verses, ladies and gentlemen, that I believe is apropos for this particular juncture in what we're discussing. In 2 Timothy, the third chapter, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to focus on just that first portion. The first portion of that text warns us very, very clearly, where it says, perilous times shall come. Perilous, that word perilous means dangerous, dark, destructive, difficult, dreadful, desperate, devastating. Devastating, dangerous, dark, destructive times, days shall, and may I say, have come. Future tense in the scripture, shall come. But may I remind us, I believe those days are upon us today as we speak. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, a mob threatens the Fox News Tucker Carlson. A leftist mob, already known for disrupting the private lives of those who have supported President Trump, late Wednesday launched an attack on Tucker Carlson, dispatching a team of radicals to Carlson's Washington area home and threatening, chanting, "We know where you sleep at night," end quote. Carlson was at Fox News studio when the angry crowd shouted and screamed at his home, prompting his wife, she was there alone, ladies and gentlemen, prompting his wife to call 911, the D.C. reported. At least one of the protesters went all the way to Carlson's front door, where they left a sign with his family's house address written on it and rang the doorbell, the report says. They demanded that he flee from the city of Washington, D.C. Our demonstrators, as one demonstrator is heard on the video with the threat, "Tucker Carlson, we're outside your home to protest fascism and racism. You promote hate," one of them said. Their chant was, "Tucker Carlson will fight. We know where you sleep at night," end quote. It reportedly was the same group whose violent, threatening members confronted Senator Ted Cruz and his wife Heidi at a Washington restaurant over the senator's involvement in Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh's controversial confirmation hearing. Here's what I'm wanting you to hear. Leftists and Democrats have been invigorated this week by the election that turned over the leadership roles to the U.S. House of Representatives and their party. Ladies and gentlemen, I am fearful that we're going to see far worse than we're seeing today. This is the reason I'm calling this broadcast Difficult Days Ahead. And let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, you can jump in this dialogue and discussion by dialing 401-1413, 904-441-1413, get you directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that you can ask a question, have your input, your dialogue and discussion is welcomed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about difficult days ahead. But there's a root cause. We talked about the shooting in California where 13 are dead. We talked about Tucker Carlson and his home being invaded. I watched the video footage on that they had posted online, the Antifa group, as they're called, posted online. And they're proud of themselves with that. And they were right up at his front door, chanting and basically intimidating and threatening. Now, his wife was inside alone. Whether she had a shotgun or not, I don't know, but that would have been very, very needful, I believe, at that point, just my personal observation. But ladies and gentlemen, there's a root cause. There's a root individual cause. And what is it? What causes it? It's the heart of man. Jeremiah 17:9 tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Yet, ladies and gentlemen, fake news will not tell you that. Fake news will not tell you that it's the heart of wicked, evil, desperately dangerous, dark hearts of men, mankind, that will bring about this kind of activity, that will go to a person's home and invade his the rights of his privacy and security of his own home, and threatening and demand. It will cause a person to walk into a building and start firing on innocent people. It's the desperately wicked heart. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it is increasingly so in the society in which we're living in. We're truly in the last of the last days, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, that the Bible speaks about, before the church is raptured out, before we're suddenly seized, snatched out of this whole world. I believe that we're going to see desperately dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, dreadful days ahead of us. Now, that's not negative. I'm just speaking the truth based on the authority of Scripture. I'm just saying, ladies and gentlemen, that when we wonder about these things, when we hear the news, when we watch the television, when we see these desperately wicked, evil things taking place, don't you dare think that we need to ban weapons. Don't you dare think that somehow, some way it's because of President Donald Trump. In fact, if you're in that category, you need to go to a shrink, if possible, and get your head examined. President Trump is not the cause of the problem. I can't even say that the loose Looney Tunes on the left are the cause of the problem. It's the desperately wicked, evil heart of man that's causing the problem. But ladies and gentlemen, in these last days, I believe God is judging our nation as a result of our turning our backs on God and on God's word. You say, well, exactly what are you meaning by that? We have banned the Bible in the public arena. We've banned the Bible in the classrooms. In fact, here's an article, ladies and gentlemen, that perhaps you're aware of. And if you're not, let me open your eyes to what's happening across our nation. Here's an article that says, discrimination complaint filed over eviction threat for Bible class. You heard it right. A retired pastor who was threatened with eviction for holding a Bible study in his apartment has filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Article says the man's lawyer argues the eviction violates the Fair Housing Act. They are demanding that Evergreens and its parent company, Realty Company, rescind the eviction notice and policy prohibiting religious activities. They also ask for prompt steps to curtail the pattern of harassment against the Hague family and residents of faith who attend the Bible study class. Yes, this man, in the confines of his home, this man in the security of his own home in Fredericksburg, Virginia, simply reading his Bible and having friends and guests come over from his community to have a Bible study, was evicted from his home. And the reading of the Bible and having Bible class was the rationale and the reasoning behind it. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we've plummeted to a deep level when a person is evicted simply because of having Bible study classes in his home. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, the desperately dark, difficult days that we are in and ahead. And it's because I believe God is judging America. We've banned the Bible in the public forum and in the classroom. We've banned prayer in Jesus' name in the public arena. We have and continue to ban the crosses across America. We've banned the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, across the nation, crosses that are on public display that have been there in some cases for dozens and dozens and dozens of years are now being challenged. Here's an article. It says Supreme Court to review orders to destroy a cross memorial. The World War I memorial known as the Blandingburg Cross in Blandingburg, Maryland, is under attack from the atheists and the Muslims. The U.S. Supreme Court has agreed to receive lower court rulings ordering the destruction of the cross memorial in Maryland that honors 49 soldiers who gave their lives during World War I. The dispute began in 2014 when members of the American Humanist Association filed a lawsuit claiming the memorial discriminates against soldiers who were not Christians. The 40-foot Peace Cross, made of granite and cement, was built in 1925 at Maryland Route 450 and Route 1 in Blandingburg, Maryland, and was paid for by local families, businesses, and the American Legion. However, the state acquired the property and has been paying for its maintenance. A plate at the base lists the names of 49 soldiers that are markers recognizing the American Legion who raised the money to pay for the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about difficult days ahead. And I believe part and parcel is because of banning the Bible, banning prayer, banning the cross. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
You know, Doc, that that statement, I don't know the news source there, the statement that some of those folks that gave their lives, you know, that weren't Christians, weren't honored by that cross, and I beg to differ. Every single person on earth that's ever been introduced to the cross of Jesus Christ knows exactly what that cross represents. And there's a verse of scripture, and you can finish it for me, no greater love hath any man than to give his life for his friend. You know what? When a person goes and they sign that check, that commitment to become a soldier, sailor, airman, or marine, they recognize the fact that it may cost them their life, yet they still sign that check. They still sign that document and venture themselves for their fellow man. My goodness, what object would one choose other than a cross to represent such great sacrifice? That is the most, the best representation of the sacrifice that's laid down by soldiers, sailors, airmen, marine, law enforcement, first responders. When they venture themselves for their fellow man, that shows a great act of love, the greatest act of love.
Absolutely, absolutely. And when you go to Arlington Cemetery in Virginia, you find all of the soldiers that are laid to rest there. There's a white cross at the headstone across all of the cemetery. In fact, just a few years back, as you might recall, we had a group of atheists wanting to file suit and force the federal government to remove the crosses from the soldiers' burial site at Arlington Cemetery. But the point that we make, and you're exactly right, we're in devastating condition today when the Bible is banned, when prayer is banned, and now we're trying to remove all public crosses across America. I believe it's God's judgment on America for the way we've treated God.
Well, this scripture makes clear, woe unto those that call good evil and evil good. Well, we've arrived in a date and time in America, and as many times been said, we're just one generation away from complete apostasy. We live in a generation where it's become more and more difficult. I'm with a little group called the Gideons, and the Gideons have given away over 2 billion Bibles. In some jurisdictions, you can still go into a fifth-grade classroom and give that Bible. In most jurisdictions, that's not allowable anymore. We don't let these kids receive Bibles in many jurisdictions, prevent them from carrying those Bibles to school and other jurisdictions, yet I regularly have gone and collected Bibles that are used Bibles from hotel and motel rooms, replaced them with a brand new one. The old Bibles have their hardcovers stripped, and the innards, the core of that Bible, given for, guess what, prisons and jails across America. Guess what? They'll take the Bible away from or prevent the child from having Bible, have the access to the truth of the Word of God, and then after their life is completely dismantled and they find themselves incarcerated, then we go, now we'll give you a Bible. Perhaps.
Yes.
If they would let the truth sink in as a child, as an adolescent, as a young adult, perhaps they would not need to end up incarcerated and find themselves seeking the truth after devastation has already hit their life.
Absolutely. And one of those things that you're speaking of is one of the key elements of why we're finding the difficult, dark days before us, is because even in the classroom where some of the courts have ruled that if you have the Ten Commandments on display, it could cause the child to have irreparable mental and emotional harm. And the farthest thing is from that, the truth is from that. Because if the Word of God is hidden in the heart, if there is, just picture, for example, with some of the events we're talking about now, had they been introduced to the Word of God, and even the Ten Commandments, not the totality of the Scripture, just the Ten Commandments, perhaps it would have prevented that imprisonment. Perhaps it would have prevented that slaughter by way of a weapon. Perhaps it would have prevented that person from taking his own life, et cetera, et cetera. We're living in desperate times, I believe.
I think a lot of Christians, from an eschatological standpoint, look to the fulfillment of many end times prophecies. Many people are looking for an antichrist, and many fail to realize we live in a society that has the spirit of antichrist already here. I mean, the antichrist may have already been born, may actually be walking the face of the planet, but that spirit of antichrist, it it pervades many of the halls of power across America. And, you know, I pray that believers, we just had this election. And we, I know you spoke some yesterday on the election. But look at even the halls of Congress, the promises that were made 2 years ago, 4 years ago, 6 years ago, the promises that were made that weren't promises kept, the lies that were told. And it's somehow or another, in many circles, those lies are celebrated. How many times, not to beat up on Republicans, but how many times did Republicans promise to fund the wall? How many times did Republicans promise to defund that infanticide mill, that abortion mill that we call Planned Parenthood? How many times did they make commitments to do X, Y, or Z? And then as soon as they had the reins of power, what did they do? They refused. Matter of fact, two months ago now, they had a vote. Rand Paul insisted upon inserting a provision within a minibus, a spending bill. It's crazy. We have omnibus and then minibus continuing resolutions instead of following the regular order that Paul Ryan promised. But he insisted that an amendment be placed on a bill that would have defunded Planned Parenthood. He wanted that language. That was the promise. That was the commitment. Thank the Lord for Rand Paul with things like this. He inserts and has a vote taken on the floor, and the floor vote failed, 43-48, I believe. It shows that even those Republicans utterly fail us. You know, there's recent posting said, you know, stop looking to the elephant and the donkey, look to the lamb if you want a cure. We do need to shift our focus, and it really ought to be on Jesus Christ and not all this chaos that we see in D.C. and state houses. By the way, along that line, I was really thankful for a lot of what I saw election evening. I kept over and over and over, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, because the polling data and, of course, the reports for months leading up to this thing, we're going to have this massive blue wave. And I'm sorry, I can't celebrate, you know, if there was a blue wave, I feel a little more hopeless this morning just from a humanly standpoint, because I cannot celebrate the notion of a party that boos God. I can't celebrate the notion of those individuals having power. I can't celebrate the notion of Democrats that have said okay to Planned Parenthood. Not only it's in their party platform, they have locked it in, codified it as part of the bedrock of their party. Lord, I pray that every single Christian would abandon that, would walk away. I pray that every single person of color that has allowed that party to be their destruction. I mean, I could chase that rabbit for a while with Margaret Sanger and all the garbage that she did. But I pray that these individuals would walk away, that they would see the truth, but more so the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Truth of politics, very important, but the most important being the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Very well said. Thank you so much for that. One of the things, if you will also recognize, and I know that you would, that we're talking about the difficult days ahead, and part of it is because of banning the Bible and banning prayer and banning any cross in public arena. But just as you touched on so eloquently, we also have the problem with a party, and it has permeated most of secularized society today, that's embraced the LGBTQ, the sodomite lifestyle, have legalized murder by way of abortion, with some 61 million human beings being murdered since 1973, when and the process across the nation of prosecuting and persecuting people of faith, Christian florists and Christian bakers and Christian wedding planners. As a nation, we've now legalized drugs, which destroys families and the future of our nation. We've now violated God's plan for the family and for the future of America. We've legalized all kinds of sexual immorality that allows our wives and our mothers and our sons and our daughters to be put in a grave danger when they walk into a bathroom, a shower room, or a locker room. And all of this, I believe, is part of the indication of God's judgment on our nation that then causes us to see these difficult, devastating, dreadful, dark days that's presently around us.
You know, on the subject of these monuments and such, and it seems like you've got one group that's wanted to remove even Civil War monuments across the United States. I don't know that they realize they seem a little like ISIS when they want to destroy history. Nonetheless, for these Christian monuments across the United States that the left oftentimes wants to see destroyed. A brother of mine that happens to be wise beyond his years made the recommendation perhaps a group should get together. A group of believers ought to get together and offer to buy every single one of these monuments. Go to jurisdiction by jurisdiction, offer to buy. We will give you $1 for this monument. It will become this organization's property. We will maintain it. It will no longer be government, a federal, state, or local government. It will be our private property. Sell us these 10 square feet and this monument. We will preserve it. We will protect it. And I think it's a brilliant idea to have individuals that are now, that being a private monument, the government still has the responsibility to protect it. These monuments that are desecrated by the left, they dumped red paint all over a Columbus monument this past Columbus Day. There's still the defacing. There's still the destruction that they would perform, but they would no longer have that supported by our tax dollars. They would no longer have the ability to destroy those elements of history that are so important. We ought not ever forget where we came from.
Absolutely. That's what you call rewriting history. And in the rewriting of history, we have even here in our city, a city council member that introduced legislation about a year ago, and it's been put on hold, but introducing legislation to destroy the monuments here in Jacksonville, Florida, that stand for our history and our past, and those that were valiant men that provided protection and security for our, not only our city and our county, but also part of the protection for our nation. We've got about 2 minutes left. Let's talk about some of the things that we're seeing happening in relationship to these dark days that we're in today. Here's an article that says, Maryland shooting illustrates what will happen if guns are confiscated. There are people out there who are described as anti-gun people who may want to take away your guns. They might want to make it virtually impossible for you to buy and sell your weapons, leave them to your kids or anything like that. But they don't actually want to take them away from you. No, not really. Could that really happen in America? And it's an elongated article, and I won't take time to read it all. But as a result of Maryland now having a law that will allow them to confiscate your weapon at the door, they go to the door to confiscate a weapon, and the man then gets into a wrestling match with the police officers, and he's summarily shot just because of protecting his right to keep and bear arms. That's part of what we're seeing with these dark, dangerous, devastating days. How do you respond to that? What would you say to our listeners about that event?
The reality is folks need to know their history. You know, we live in the what was the freest, it's still the greatest country on God's green earth. We need to remember how we got here. As the revolution began, as we would say, the revolution went hot. It went hot on one day. What day? It was the day that the shot was heard around the world. On that day when Lexington and Concord, British forces came, and what did they come for? Specifically to take away the guns of those colonists, removed their last ability to defend themselves. That's what King George intended to do. That was the day that the colonists realized there's no other option. So I have news for you. Americans, if you're in your city council, your county commission, your state legislature, the federal government there in D.C., you need to hear these words.
Absolutely.
Don't ever go that road again. It was a huge mistake for King George, and it will be a huge mistake for you.
Absolutely. One of the things we can wrap up on in this broadcast today, the scripture is very, very clear. When we see these things taking place, look up, lift up your head, for our redemption draweth nigh. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you on the air even tomorrow as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on AM 1600 and 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.